Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Welcome to Life and Art from FT Weekend. I'm Lila Raptopoulos. The film Love Lies Bleeding is not your average anything, but I will try to describe it. It's set in the 1980s, somewhere in New Mexico. Kristen Stewart plays the reclusive manager of a gym, and she falls for a bodybuilder who just came to town, played by Katie O'Brien. As the two of them fall in love, they also get tangled in a web of deceit, passion, and crime. It's a noir, but it's also surreal. There are guns and bugs and sex and implausible muscles. And in the center, there's this twisted romance.
What is this place?
Huh?
You don't understand. Get back in the car.
They found a body.
Looks like you've got your hands full.
Don't regret this.
We'll just need to fight back. I'm gonna tell them everything you ever did.
It is also all the brainchild of its director and co-writer, Rose Glass. This is Rose's second feature film. Her first was St. Maud from 2019. And as our film critic put it then in his review, some debuts tug at your sleeve, others take your arm off. Rose is my guest. She's with me in the New York studio today.
Oh, that was a nice one.
Rose, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. It was a compliment.
Yes, no, a lovely compliment.
So I did my very best to try to explain what Love Lies Bleeding.
You did a
about.
Way better job than I ever do if I get asked to summarize it. I'm like, oh, this stuff happens and there's these girls. And
That's good. But the bad thing is I was going to ask you to do the same.
No, damn it.
I would love to just know, it doesn't have to be the plot, but I'd love to know what it's about to you.
I think when I had to email Kristen for the first time to try and explain to her what it was, I just said it's like a crime, romance, thriller, dark comedy, farce, surreal thing. So it's something in that sort of territory. And yeah, it's a love story between these two women who I guess seem very different from the outset. Like, well, obviously one of them's an aspiring bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. Kristen's character like works in a gym, but kind of like sitting on her ass behind a desk all day sort of thing. And, you know, she's kind of pathetically trying and struggling and failing to quit smoking. And I guess I'm probably just fascinated by the idea of what it would take to actually get yourself looking like a professional bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And the sort of psychological traits it might take to sort of get yourself looking like that. And that just right. seemed like a love story between two people from those sort of slightly opposite spectrums of ambition, motivation, life might be sort of psychologically interesting kind of territory.
Yeah. I have to say, in both of your films, St. Maud and this, I felt so physically uncomfortable in my body that I somehow like wanted to scratch my skin off and also laugh at the same time.
It was
I felt like Love Lies Bleeding was somehow like sexy and disgusting at the same time. I just never really have felt that quite that level of nausea and anxiety and absurdity and sometimes sweetness.
Yeah,
at
hopefully.
The same time.
I mean, like, for me, I'm kind of, I mean, you know, I thought like, you know, I thought St. Maud was kind of like funny, but obviously a lot of people thought it was just incredibly depressing, but there's humor in there. So for this one, I'm kind of like, from my perspective, I'm like, it's a romp. But I guess the contradictory stuff is just interesting, and I like to think that that's something that people can maybe wrap their heads around quite easily, I think.
Yeah, sexy and disgusting felt like a pairing in some way in this film.
Well, I guess it's like, because it's a love story, I guess me and Veronica, who I co-wrote it with, we sort of knew that we wanted to do the kind of love story which isn't just, you know, it's obviously far from a one-dimensional kind of thing. Love can bring out the best but also the worst in people. I guess the extremes that people can be led to in order to get what they want or to pursue their loves and ambitions can lead people to do great things, but also awful, shitty, kind of like selfish things. And it's kind of fun to sort of watch people navigate that.
Yeah.
And I think that probably has something to do with the sort of sexy, grotesque thing as well. I guess one person's sexy as another person's grotesque. And I don't know, yeah. Just the human body is just kind of fine weird. And I guess that's why I was interested in looking at a story where one character is a bodybuilder,
yeah,
pushing her body to that kind of extreme.
You mentioned Veronica. I just want to call out that that's Veronica Tofilska, who you co-wrote the film with. The other thing I love about your films, both of them, is that you got them made.
Me too.
They're just both great, weird things that are also very charming, and it feels hard to make great, weird things. And I'm wondering if I can ask you a little bit about the process.
Sure.
So first of all, do you write the script and then get funding, or did you get funding and then write the script?
You kind of go through like development with both St. Maud and this. We come up with like the initial concept and then took it to my producers, Oliver Kasman and Andrea Cornwall, who produced both these films.
Mm-hmm.
And first we just kind of talked between us about what the thing is and, you know, write like a treatment. So maybe I'll just, which is just like a few pages, pictures, a little summary, just to kind of try and get it into someone's head.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took that to Film 4, who based in the UK. And they sign us up for development. So they kind of, you have a contract, so you're being kind of paid, but the film itself hasn't been greenlit. So then you write the script, same one I did by myself, this one I did with Veronica. Periodically, you're kind of like sending drafts in to producers. But mostly I was in quite a fortunate position where they kind of leave you to it a bit. And then as you're writing it, you're kind of getting a bit closer to sort of having discussions about, okay, well, how much do we think this is going to cost to make?
Right.
Who's going to be in it? Like it becomes a sort of shifting thing that gradually starts to come together.
Yeah. So what was the germ of the thing that you were sort of initially pitching and that you went in sort of toying with?
I think I went to Veronica because I basically decided I wanted to try co-writing. And I think it was already a love story, but it was about, you know, a bodybuilder who has some kind of mental, physical kind of unraveling as they're training for a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in their pursuit of kind of their bodybuilding ambitions ends up kind of being derailed. So that was the sort of skeleton. And then me and Veronica kind of hashed it out a bit more. And then, but I think before that, like the very initial thing was just really wanting to tell a story about a woman who was trying to become a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
That relationship with yourself and your body, I just thought was quite interesting.
Right. What is it about the relationship between ourselves and our bodies that is interesting?
I guess the weird contradiction of sort of how we, you know, all experience reality so subjectively and privately from our own little tiny bubbles. And, you know, within our brains and like our, you know, emotions and thoughts can sort of be so far reaching and kind of grand and whatever. And yet we're sort of all confined to these same weird fleshy kind of packages. Our bodies can sort of be playgrounds for either of those things. They can be like awful and go wrong and be messy and sort of embarrassing and inelegant and equally can be like incredibly powerful, sensual, exciting, beautiful.
Yeah.
And I guess how we think about a lot of those things ourselves and how we view ourselves dictates that a lot. And they're fun to look at.
Totally.
In all guises.
Okay, so you have these themes that you want to play with while you're writing the script. And then I'm curious at what point the tone starts to build. Like there's a very strong vibe in this movie. And I wonder, is that happening also while you're writing?
I mean, that was kind of not fully formed, but there was sort of more of that in place in the beginning before there was the story, I guess. It was sort of like when I went to Veronica, I think it was like, this is the rough story. And this is kind of, you know, we want the world to feel sweaty and kind of visceral and heightened and kind of noirish or something.
Yeah.
And you wanted it to be quite sort of bombastic and pulpy and kind of take a big swing and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Was there a way that you had to pitch or frame the film to get funding for it?
I mean, to me, I was like this, it probably says more about me, but to me, I was like, this is my version of like trying to do a really commercial film. Like, I'm like, you know, there's girls and guns and sex in it. Like, what else do people want kind of thing? You know, in the film, it's, you know, as much as I talk about all this gross stuff, it's still, you know, it's kind of a crime thriller noir kind of thing.
Right.
And I think sort of leans into quite a lot of classic Hollywood-y kind of tropes and stuff and things. But I think there's, for all its weirdness, there's a lot in it that's using quite familiar ingredients, but then
yes,
kind of hopefully cooking up something a bit different with it. So who knows if all the financiers got the film they were expecting. But this, for me, I kind of, as far as I was concerned, this was pretty much from the outset, this is kind of the thing that we set out to do. And everyone was fortunately very supportive and kind of encouraging about it.
Yeah, cool. I was wondering if you could bring us into a scene, because I read an interview where you were talking about St. Maud, a scene in St. Maud where Maud is picking the scab from her hand, and the scab holds some metaphor. But that you said that you really enjoyed filming that scene because having this whole team of professionals like help you film a girl pick a scab off her hand was like this dream come true.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've made it. Hooray.
Did you feel that at any point when you were filming Love Lives Bleeding?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, like, it's annoying. There's some sort of like spoiler stuff towards the end, which like I won't say, but if you've seen the film, you know which bit I'm talking about. I mean, having legends like Ed Harris in the film, some of the stuff that particularly ends up happening to him later on, I was like, I can't believe let's do this. So filming that was very surreal. But I don't know, like the bodybuilding competition, probably it was so much fun to shoot.
Yes.
Because we basically staged like a mini competition and got all, you know, pretty much all, I think the other bodybuilders you see on stage with Katie are all professionals. Mm-hmm. And we had like lots of cameras set up at once because, again, there's not much time to film it. So you're sort of, it's all a bit mad, but we're basically just having to over and over again sort of get these amazing men and women to do these bodybuilding lineups and just kind of like oiling them all up in between takes and, you know, amazing like tacky lights flashing. But, you know, had like a playlist going and everyone kind of really getting into it. It was great fun.
Yeah. There's a scene where Katie O'Brien's character vomits up Stewart's character.
During the bodybuilding competition. It's an eventful few minutes.
How do you direct something like that?
In bits, I guess. I mean, Katie was great doing that because obviously when she's doing it, it's just her with dots on her face kind of on stage. And it's basically, she basically like births Kristen up from her stomach and out of her mouth, and Kristen kind of appears in this sort of membraney amniotic sac kind of thing. She just had to imagine what it was like, I guess, and then pretend to do it. But you had to get quite specific about, okay, now the head is in your mouth. So you should like look down at your mouth and then, okay, maybe gag a bit like, but you sort of have to gag, but with your mouth shut because it's blocked. It's not just like throwing up. So she has to do her whole thing. And then time-based arts, our VFX company, do all this magic so that she appears to be giving birth out of her mouth. But then Kristen landing on the ground was basically just Kristen kind of stood in a paddling pool, and then we sort of like doused her in lube, I think, or something slippery like that. And then she sort of had to be kind of held by our stunt double and then just get kind of dropped into frame. So she lands like a little baby horse or something being born. So it was all, just
a day.
Yeah.
It's a regular
That's what day. I was thinking about making films, like sort of so often just it all becomes so normalized and you all know the script really well. So it's like, okay, well, this is the day where she throws up Chris. Okay, fine. That's fine. Okay. Then he eats the bug here and then he does that. I'm like, good.
Yeah. I would love to ask you a little bit about your background in film. Like what made you want to be a filmmaker?
I mean, I think I did sort of decided that it was something I want to do. Like the idea occurred to me quite like really young. Once I sort of realized that that was a job that exists that somebody could do, I think it just sort of seemed like the most fun, cool job in the world.
Yeah.
So it was just like, well, let me do that. So, you know, I was making little films with a video camera and like sort of doing stop motion films, and then I don't know, obsessively watching all the kind of like Lord of the Rings DVD extra features and being like, oh, and it's basically realizing like what went into making a film. It just sort of seems, I don't know, just really exciting.
Yeah. Were there things as you were sort of making little movies by yourself and watching this behind the scenes DVDs and then you went to film school and then you started making like real, real things. Did you find that there was like things that you were going towards, or there was like a thread or themes that you really kept kind of
there tended to always be somewhat surreal kind of things happening, or I don't think I ever was like, I want to make realistic naturalistic dramas. It was always stuff which was like slightly surreal, slightly farcical, getting people to dress up in stupid costumes, sort of parodies as well, I guess. Like before I went to film school, so just as like a young teenager, it was always like making silly like mockumentaries or kind of impersonating Tarantino films or zombie films or something like that, where it's people with guns or with blood and, you know, guns, blood, surreal stuff. And then probably then when I went to film school, it got a little bit more serious. But yeah, it's usually people kind of having strange hallucinations and reality and fantasy kind of getting a bit blurred.
Yeah. Something that I really liked in both of your films about the people and the worlds is it sort of feels like the people become whatever it is they're feeling in a sort of physical way.
Literal,
like,
really.
Yeah, like, but you're really sort of experiencing the world how you're imagining them feeling it. And I was looking at my notes through Love Lies Bleeding and it just said like, so sad, so mad, so hot. Like everything was the most intense version of the thing.
I'm just very on the nose. I think that's what I like about films is that it's sort of you can take whatever is a very intimate, insular feeling or emotion and make it somehow visual. You know, it's a sort of poetic visual kind of medium. So I guess that's.
Yeah, right. So just changing gears here a little, I would love to ask you about what might be next. I know you might not want to talk exactly about what you're working on, but I imagine that after making two successful films, that gives you some more freedom for whatever you might want to do next.
I mean, I sort of feel like I'm just in the most kind of privileged, fortunate position I could dream of being in, which maybe is embarrassing to say, but yeah, it's wonderful to, I'm just trying to sort of not overthink any of it. Because yes, it's very liberating and very exciting. That said, I haven't got anything set up yet. Maybe I'll start doing it and they'll be like, ugh, no, don't do that. But yeah, I'm just sort of writing something, which hopefully I'll kind of start getting into gear soon, which I'm really excited about. And it's sort of one that I've been thinking about for ages. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about it. Hopefully people will trust me to do it again. I'm very happy to be in a position where I think hopefully I can get away with just kind of making whatever the weird thing is next. I am very lucky and very happy to be doing it.
Right. I guess, you know, without spoiling it, I'm curious what you would want an audience member to feel when they're watching Love Lies Bleeding or when they're leaving.
I just hope people have a lot of fun watching it. I know that sounds sort of glib, but really it's true. Like I really just genuinely, when me and Vera were writing it, we were just trying to entertain ourselves as much as we could.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the sort of like good, bad, beautiful, ugly sort of thing. I guess it's debatable whether it's a happy, sad ending, but I'm hoping even though there's like darkness to it, people come out of it feeling pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope it makes people feel good.
Yeah. For how uncomfortable I felt during the film, I was shocked by how great I felt.
Hey, good. That's kind of...
My last question I ask everybody, but I'm curious from you. Just when you feel most creatively fulfilled through the whole process of making the film, when do you really feel like?
There's usually kind of a sort of magical window in each, the writing and then the shooting and the editing process. I think I do love post-production, like I said, because it's actually coming together in front of you. But I think it's actually probably on set when it's going well and you're trying stuff out that maybe is going a little bit off script, but it's all kind of gelling or working, or even if it's not, I don't know, if there's just a, I don't know how to say this without sounding all wanky and pretentious, but you know, there's just a good kind of energy or whatever. And when it's like that, it does sort of feel like you're just all kind of like playing, basically. It does, I don't know, there's a connection between that feeling and probably the sort of feeling that you get when you're just first trying out making films or short films or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when you feel like you're playing, when it feels like that, that feels great. And I had that on this one in the writing as well, because I was writing it with one of my best friends.
Well, what point in the writing did it feel like playing?
A lot of the writing, to be honest, like particularly, I think probably before, because basically me and Vera kind of like mapped out the whole story first, like on just little like index cards. And that process took ages. So that process was just the most fun, because then it's just literally her and me just sitting in a room for like just weeks on end, kind of mapping out every little scene, but basically just you sort of, and doing that by yourself is quite a different experience. And I'm sort of missing it greatly now that I'm writing this next one by myself. So maybe we'll team up again. But there's lots of moments. It's kind of throughout the whole process, to be honest, it's like constantly going in and out of, you know, just logistics, stress. Mm-hmm. And then it, you know, hopefully at semi-regular intervals, you'll suddenly look around and realize you're having, you know, the most fun ever. And then it's all just a bit silly and great.
Yeah. Love Lies Bleeding is in theaters now in the U.S., and it will be in theaters in the U.K. on May 3rd. Rose, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's really nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you, too. That's the show. Thank you for listening to Life and Art from FT Weekend. Take a read through the show notes. We have linked to everything mentioned today, and all of our links that take you to the Financial Times will get you past the paywall. Also in the show notes is a discount to a subscription to the FT and ways to stay in touch with me and the show on email and Instagram. I'm Lila Raptopoulos, and here's my incredible team. Katya Kumkova is our senior producer. Lulu Smith is our producer. Zach St. Louis is our contributing producer and VIP of this episode. Our sound engineers for this episode are Sam Javinko and Simon Panayi, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer, and our global head of audio is Cheryl Brumley. Have a lovely week, and we will find each other again on Friday.